Good, excellent, fine, fantastic. And the crowd are going wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
I know how it'd be. You know how it'd be.
You know how it goes. It goes as it goes.
It seems to go on forever. So I recognize that my samples is kind of slanted. But have you talked to any 12 to 16 or 18-year-olds and have them mention something that upset them in some mild manner?
Yes.
Did they use – what terminology did they use to express that upset? Did they say, I'm upset, or this really upset me, or this thing has causing me distress?
No.
Okay. What do they say?
They don't normally use. They use vernacular.
Right. What is the common vernacular among the adolescents with whom you have associated in regards to their upset?
I don't know. What are you fishing for, James?
No, I just wonder because, like, a lot of the kids in the school that I teach, they say, "Man, you're blowing me," when they are upset about something, or when you
present. No, none of the kids that I hang around with have ever used the term "blowing me" to say that I'm upsetting them.
No, it's unusual. It's not my use of the term. It's not when I hear that term. That is not, you know, the phrase in which the concept that I am trying to convey is not a manner of upset.
Yeah, that's a wildly incorrect use of the term.
Well, you say incorrect, but it's like, you know, if everybody is using it or everybody in a certain generation is using it, it's not incorrect for them. It's, you know, I mean, it's like the word irregardless, which I really fucking hate, by the way.
It's a word. It's in the dictionary.
But if everybody uses it, then eventually the meaning of it will change, right?
No, but irregardless is a word. You use it when you really want to, like, end a argument. Like, you use irregardless when it's a final statement. So
no.
You can say, regardless of your feelings, let's say you come over to my house and you're like, "Nick, I'm stealing your truck." And I'm like, "Why?" And you're like, "Well, I really like to drive it." And I go, "Well, regardless of that, I don't want you to take my truck." And you're like, "Yeah, but, you know, I've never driven your truck and I think it's time I did it." And I can say, irregardless of your feelings on that, it's not happening.
Why is the use of the word irregardless different from the use of the word regardless in that case?
Because after I say irregardless, I'm not talking about it anymore. Like, that's it. Like, that's the end of my argument. I am no longer, it's no longer up for discussion. That's supposed to put a stamp on the back and forth.
Like, over and out.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It's like, that is my final say on the matter.
Okay. That's weird. An unnecessary usage. I mean, but yeah, fine.
Well, I learned that last week. because on Facebook, I follow Merriam-Webster's site because I'm a fucking nerd. But one of their
m-w.com.
No. They have a Facebook page. Where they post, like, definitions and weird words and stuff. And one of their, it's not a linguist. There's a term for a person who writes definitions of words.
A lexicographer?
Yes, a lexicographer.
Oh, and lexicographer.
She came on and she was like, "Hi, yeah, I'm a lexicographer. That means I write the definition of words. I study words. I know what they mean. And I'm here to talk about irregardless. It is, in fact, a word. And here's the only place where it's acceptable, and here's where you should use it." She said it. And I was
Okay, so it's basically a one-upmanship thing for the word regardless.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, like I've said regardless once. Now I'm saying irregardless.
Okay. I'll accept that. I guess. I probably will never use it, but...
But you can't open with it.
No, you can't open with it. It's not an opener.
Finality. Yeah. We're done.
Yes, there's finality to it. Wow. You're
finished. We're fucking done. Although I think that's a better way to say it. Irregardless, fucking we're fucking done.
That's how we should close the podcast from now on.
Irregardless, we're fucking done. Anymore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore. And you're listening to Dork.
Welcome to Dork. I'm James Brown.
I'm Nick Moore.
And I'm James Brown. Welcome to Dork. This is for Dork episode 164. And we'd like to welcome you.
67.
What'd you say?
166.
That's what I said, 166.
Yeah.
Sometimes I pronounce it. So James, yes.
Next week is Thanksgiving.
Oh, it is Thanksgiving.
I don't know if I'll be able to do a podcast next week because I will have the week off, but I will also have guests
and oh.
All sorts of things to deal with in regards to that.
Well, regardless of the things that you have to do, I think you have to keep in mind your obligation as a podcaster.
Irregardless of my obligations, I will not have time.
Mm-hmm. I actually will have a house guest as well. Our friend Hannah from the UK will be visiting.
To celebrate our pagan festival?
Yes, but mainly because there's a Dragon Con thing in Atlanta or someplace. Or not Dragon Con. It's Heroes and Villains. It's like some kind of convention for science fiction people.
She's been to the States before, no?
Yeah.
She does understand the dramatic distance between New Orleans and Atlanta.
I don't know if she does or not, but she's
got. It's all the states.
It's all the states. I can fly from fucking Juneau to Miami. It'll be just like going from Liverpool to Breckenridge.
Yeah. No. Whatever.
Breckenridgeshire. Breckenshire. Breckenridge. Laura Unkton.
There you go. Yeah. So, but I have been prepping a couple best ofs. So hopefully I can put one together for next week. So there will be a podcast up.
Good.
It'll be the best of 11 through 20.
Good.
So you can be thankful for that. It also would appear that my father-in-law will not be staying until January. It may just be like December 20th.
Which is still like, what, 4 weeks?
It's still a month, yeah.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. Yeah, it's still a while. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. So next week is going to be busy. You know, all kinds of things. Putting out my Christmas lights traditionally on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I just realized some of the things that I'm also obligated to do in the next several days. And some of them involve taking care of very small children.
Yikes.
And not like taking care of them, but like actually like making sure that they flourish and thrive and survive.
Hmm. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, we are taking in my nephew, who is Jane's sister's 1-year-old, for a few days this weekend. And then what? I think, yeah, I don't know.
Does it talk?
No, I haven't heard him talk.
It stands, though, right? Like 1-year-old, it's like standing.
Yes. And if he were outside and he were doing that, he'd be outstanding.
Yeah.
And our 6-year-old nephew will probably be spending the night, probably Wednesday night.
Jesus. Enjoy that.
His name is not Jesus.
Jesus.
That's what they said your name was, Jesus? No, they said, hey, Zeus, like lightning bolts up your ass. Sorry, had a Die Hard with a Vengeance moment. I'm fine.
So, James, what would you say is the worst fashion choice you've ever made in your life?
Parachute pants.
Yeah?
Yeah. they like did not breathe at all. And also, they're, I mean, looking at the pictures, come on, parachute pants.
I had some in middle school. I liked them. They were comfy. If I didn't get shit thrown at me, I probably would still wear them.
There's a lot, you know? There's like Coca-Cola shirts. Do you remember those?
Coca-Cola shirts?
Did like you know? I mean, no, they were like polo shirts. They were like all like, you know, they said Coca-Cola across the front usually, but then they'd be like multicolored, like yellow on the top and like red on the bottom or something.
No, I don't remember that at like, all.
Oh, I mean, you're lucky.
They look kind of like rugby shirts?
I mean, kind of, but I mean, I remember mine being like short sleeves, so like polo.
You know, now that you mentioned it, I vaguely am aware of that. I have memories.
All Alone in the Moonlight?
There was a while, back when I was bartending, there was a while I wore like really wild like shirts, like Hawaiian shirts, and I had one that was like, it looked kind of furry, but it's like tiger striped, and one that looked like it was on fire, and just a bunch of like really obnoxious shirts. One that was like very Asian themed. It's like a red crushed velvet with like gold medallions all over it. Like ooh, the shirts like a pimp would wear in the early 80s in Miami. I had a ton of them. But that wasn't the worst. Like, that wasn't as bad as it got. And there were lots of them. It was before like Guy Fieri came around and like put the kibosh on that stuff being acceptable clothing. When I was a kid, I made a lot of really poor fashion choices.
Yeah. I guess there were a lot of, sorry, I just searched, I think it was a picture of me, the Coca-Cola shirts, and a lot of them were long sleeves, so they were like rugby shirts. But anyway, yes. So what brings you to this area of talking where you're doing now?
I don't know. I was thinking about it today, and I was like, what is some dumb shit? Like, there's shit that I like, well, you know, I'm working on my NaNoWriMo. It's not going great, but it's because I keep getting on tangents, and it makes me start like looking into shit, and like, I'm doing it wrong in that I'm not just writing. I'm like, I'll start writing something like, oh wait. And like go off and start like
researching and stuff.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm writing, but I'm not just barfing it all out onto the page.
Yeah.
But
you're not using your time for writing to actually putting words on the paper. You're like doing like back stuff, backstory stuff.
Correct.
And framing.
Detailing the, you know, detailing me growing up religious and the effect that had on me out in the world in general. And like, I didn't have a great sense of pop culture because there are a lot of pop culture things that I wasn't exposed to. Like, not that I was particularly unaware of them or, but like the group that I hung out with didn't consume pop culture as broadly. And so the things that I wore, sometimes I was like, this is cool. This would be a cool thing. And it wasn't. That was most dramatic in middle school, but beginning of high school when I was still trying to like, you know, I'm this guy, look how wacky I am. I still made some questionable choices. It wasn't until like I got, oddly enough, when I got to like, I don't know, maybe junior year of high school, I started dressing like I dressed when I was in kindergarten or in elementary school, which is jeans and a t-shirt, which is pretty much my uniform now.
Yeah. I think I was close to the same way because I remember freshman year of high school, I was like, you know, trying to wear these button-down shirts and just they were, I don't know. It was not my thing. I was not comfortable in them, but I was like trying to be something. I don't know.
Yeah, like the summer of my senior year of high school, I dressed a little. Well, you know, I'm going to say from from like January of my senior year of high school through the summer, I prepped up a little bit. Like the girl I was dating liked me in polos and stuff.
Yeah. So
she like encouraged me to wear that shit.
Holy shit! And, somebody there. Sorry. Yeah.
What?
No, we had a maid service here for the first time and somebody actually emptied my trash. So I was like, what the fuck? Wow. That's entirely different story. Don't worry about it.
Gotcha. Well, but like, don't know, like freshman year, I got all these. That's when they had those hardcore like Looney Tunes shirts where, you know, you had like Bugs Bunny looking like Axl Rose.
Yes.
And like Bugs and Daffy all backed up against each other like they're gangsters or some shit.
Yes, and I recall.
Taz looking like Marky Mark. Like, I had like the whole line. I wore all that shit. Because I was like, it's awesome. It's edgy, but not. And it wasn't the greatest. Middle school was way worse. Because Jabot was in fashion. I knew the name. I didn't know the application. So I had these blue and white striped shorts I would wear all the time. With a short sleeve button.
Hello?
These are all things I fought for.
Yeah.
My parents are like, yeah, go for it. You do that. And you slap on my book sack and my big old Igloo cooler lunchbox that my mom insisted I carry. And my trumpet case. Trumpet case and a pair of like black and red BK Knights.
Oh, BK Knights. Man, I haven't even thought about those in ages.
Yeah, man. Like, it's amazing I didn't get my ass kicked. But I guess they just blended in with the herd.
Yeah.
Oh, stupid. I'm just glad there are not a ton of pictures of me from then that I easily find because Jesus Christ.
Yeah. My sophomore year of high school, I was really into heavy metal and I was not afraid of letting it show. So, I mean, I had a couple of pairs of jeans that I like totally graffitied out and had like all this like stuff from like lyrics to like Metallica songs and like images of skulls and stuff, and I wore like Megadeth and Metallica and Anthrax t-shirts like almost every day.
You see, I listened to that stuff, but I had to like, it was like I had a box under my bed, but it didn't have corn in it. It had it had like Metallica Black Album and Mad Magazine and shit.
Like, yeah, well, your household was a little bit different from mine growing up,
right?
Yes.
Decidedly.
You know, and
because if I dressed like that, if I dressed like the way you said you dressed, my parents would have sent me away. They'd be like, what is wrong with you? You have the devil in you. Obviously, you're worshiping Satan. Are you doing the drugs? Which would have been some bullshit, because my dad was a roadie in high school for a band called Isosceles Popsicle, and I don't want to hear it.
Isosceles Popsicle?
Mm-hmm. You can't tell me he did not do drugs. You can sell me on that.
I mean, apparently somebody was, because you don't come up with a name like that when you're sober.
No, and I've seen pictures of him, you know, when he was like in high school. He looked like
Axl Rose?
No. I think 60s, late 60s, early 70s. Rob Reiner, when he was on All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
He had short, a big old mustache. Yeah, and I look at that and I see his record collection. Dude, he did pot. He did the pot.
Yeah, he did the pot.
So is there a drug problem here?
No, there's no problem. Everybody has some.
We're all good.
Yeah.
When I was in elementary school, I did make some interesting calls. Like, I had a khaki vest. And I've always liked vests. Ever since I was a little kid, I always liked vests. I'm like, that's good. Like, I'd rather a vest than a waistcoat over a jacket, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like, nah. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I like that my arms not be covered.
No, I was thinking a vest would be, you know, an interesting fashion choice to get into, but...
Yeah, this one was like kind of like a jacket material. It was khaki. It had four buttons on the front that I insisted on having buttoned. It didn't work. It wasn't as bad as the Panama hat that I got on vacation. It was a white Panama hat with a red band that I wore to school because I thought it made me look like a private detective. So I'm like walking around in second grade trying to be a detective or a hard-boiled gent of sorts. And I still cringe to think about, you know, 7-year-old me being a 7-year-old. fourth and fifth grade, I got into tank tops really big, which led me to the worst fashion choice I ever made in my life.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This sounds like a superlative I need to hear about.
So fifth grade, I am at summer camp. And again, I am trying to find my identity. And this was, you know, this was a year that I discovered Commando. I watched that a lot.
Not what I thought you meant when you were talking about fashion choices.
No. So I'm in the cabin and I'm getting ready. Like, we've gone swimming and I'm getting ready to go back up to the pavilion for lunch.
Okay.
And what I put on is a pair of pants, like army surplus pants. And I tucked those into surplus boots, army boots. And then on top of it, I had a pink tank top tucked into the pants.
Okay. This is an interesting visual that's coming into my head. Okay.
And I had my hair spiked. I thought it looked badass, but my friend Rab, R-A-B-B, he caught me like on the way off the cam. He's like, "Hey, man, what are you wearing?" I was like, "This is awesome, right?" And he's like, "Dude, they're going to laugh at you really hard."
They're all going to laugh at you. That. Yeah.
And looking back on it, yeah, they totally would have. And by they, I mean like the world.
Everyone.
Would have been like, "Hey, man, what the shit are you doing?"
Everyone. Everyone. Yeah.
But yeah, my general look, like if you were to take a pencil and draw it along a graph of fashion choices, has always been kind of consistent. It's like sneakers, jeans, t-shirt. Don't really want to go beyond that. Many women have tried and failed to improve it, but
yeah, it's kind of interesting. Yeah.
No good.
No, I was just thinking that like almost every time anyone's really complimented me on my fashion choice, it's because it's based around some like sweater or shirt or something that like some woman in my life has given me, either my girlfriend, my mother, or my great aunt or godmother or somebody.
Hmm.
Like, "Hey, that's a really nice, yeah, you know, shirt." And I was like, "Yeah, that's my godmother got this for me for Christmas," you know, something like that.
Yeah, if I gotta wear clothes, like to be seen, I have a whole,
we all do,
closet full of stuff that Carol has gotten me that I can put on and, you know, look. And it's not that I'm against it, dude. I like wearing a suit. Like, I genuinely enjoy it, but not my go-to. Like, even at work, we have a fashion code at work, a dress code, which is like khakis, and we have my boss gives us shirts all the time that have the company logo on them, polos and some button-ups and stuff. And he's like, "You know, this, just wear that." Not that we have company over. We don't have, like, customers that come in. We communicate entirely via the internet. But, like, I've started, like, cheating it by wearing a T-shirt with one of these hoodies that Carol got me. And, bam. That passes. It's fine.
So when you say hoodies, do you mean, like, a sweatshirt with a zipper and a hood?
The hood?
Yeah. A sweatshirt with a zipper in the hood? Not a zipper in the hood, but a zipper and a hood. Is that your definition of a hoodie? Is that how it works? The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain? It's skidliotin don bodo skidit and done?
Right now, I cannot hear anything.
Now I can.
There we go.
Yes. So, your definition of a hoodie?
Yeah, it's a hoodie. It's a hooded sweatshirt.
Okay. And you wear that to work?
Well, it's okay. So, here's the thing. It's a sweatshirt, right? It's a hoodie. But this is a Ralph Lauren cashmere and cotton hoodie, and like if you were to buy it new, it's like $400.
Okay, that's a little bit different.
But Carol did not pay that much. She found it for me on eBay. Like, she got it. I doubt she paid more than like $75 for it. I got one that is actually an extra, extra large. Like, you know, I wear an extra large, and that fits me fine. I look presentable. I found another one. I like it so much that I wear it all the time. I've worn it. She got it for me in February. I've worn it every day since she got it for me, even through the summer. Wow.
Even through the summer.
It's cashmere cotton, so it breathes.
Mm.
So I'm inside all day, and it's in the AC, and it's comfy. Like, I can wear it outside in like 80-degree weather, and it breathes enough that I don't get hot. And if I start getting warm, just take it off. But like when I'm inside, bam, it's perfect. So I got one that was like an extra, extra large because I found a deal on eBay. Some guy was selling it for like $30. And so I was like, blam, sold. And so I'm wearing it now. It's actually, you know, it's a little big. It hangs down like past my pockets. But that actually makes it way comfier. It's like you're putting on a blanket. At the same time, still kind of fashionable. I like it. I don't give a shit what anybody says. I enjoy it. So that's my look now. I look like a stereotypical slouch.
but with a fancy hoodie, so it's a high cotton slouch.
Yeah, dude, it works.
Yeah.
I don't like if you put it on a male model, you'd be like, oh wow, that's very nice. But you put anything on a male model, it looks good. That's why they do that.
Truth.
Yeah, what is your go-to teacher outfit?
I have like three pairs of pants that three kinds of pairs of pants, because I have multiple types of khakis. But I have like these blue slacks, I have black slacks, and I have khakis. And you know, up until a few weeks ago, it was like all like
you just wear pants.
Shirts. Yeah, well, button-down shirts as well. Smart Ash. As if that weren't the whole idea of this podcast. But like I've been wearing like sweaters and stuff, you know, the last few weeks.
To be more.
Just because I also love to put the AC on in my room for like at like 65 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like so, it freaking cold.
Yeah. Because I'm always moving around. And so like the kids, they either like, you know, are like afraid to move or they like get rambunctious, in which case I can just send them out. I'm just kidding, but I do like to keep it cool in my class.
So you have an individual thermostat in your classroom?
Yeah, it gets loud as hell too. Not loud, but like, you know, it's very obvious when the air conditioner is running.
See, when I was a kid, they were all assholes, and they would tell us that they did not have any control over the thermostat, that it was located off property. Which is the biggest bullshit lie ever.
Well, I mean, like, you know, it's a bullshit lie. It's not there is no Holocaust, but it is a bullshit lie.
Like, that's the line all the teachers had to, like, you know, hey, it's hot. Can we turn up the AC? It's located off-site.
Yeah. Well, mine is, like, you know, I'm the thermostat is pretty high up, and I have to, like, kind of tiptoe in order to reach it. So, like, none of the kids can reach it except for a couple of the ones that are that tall, but most of them can't, so they have to rely on me. Mr. Brown, can you change it? It's like, nope.
No, I like it cold, like my heart.
Yes.
I'm fine.
You can deal with it when you're taller.
One day, if you drink your milk, you'll be as tall as me. We have one kid who's pretty short, and. You know, sometimes, you know, people say, like, my dad can beat up your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, you know, my dad is going to, you know, kick his size six and a half foot shoe up your butt. And the other kids were like, 6 1/2? Your dad's got small feet. Holy shit. And I was, like, taken aback. It's like, why would, you know, you can say, like, my dad will beat you up. You don't have to, like, be specific about size of feet, especially when it's not that impressive.
So is he serious? His dad a size 6 1/2 foot?
Yeah, his foot. Yeah, because his dad was like a jockey or something. So
for real?
For real, real.
Oh my god, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was because I'm like my size. I mean, my dad had size 12 feet, and my feet are bigger than his now. So, my dad still has size 12 feet, unless they shrink. I don't know. But I have a size 13 feet, so like telling somebody you're gonna kick my, you know, kick my butt with a size 6 1/2 shoe is not really impressive to me.
Your father could wear my shoes with his shoes on. Don't start with me. You tell him to come get me. You climb up to my face and talk.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway. These times are fun times. Yeah. Oh.
You enjoying yeah. shit?
Have you seen Thor yet?
Why would I have seen Thor?
I'm just asking. Just making sure.
Like, I would love to. Someday I will have free time. But it ain't going to be for the next couple months.
I know, but you're just going to like keep getting behind on stuff. You know what's coming out on Friday?
I know, James.
I know.
I'm aware of the huge pop culture gap that I'm creating for myself. It's a chasm at this point.
It's getting bigger every day. It's like runaway greenhouse effect, except it's pop culture.
Like, I'm trying to think how far back I have to go.
You know, you'll never find out how Superman comes back from the dead.
Right?
Right.
Like, but from what I'm seeing as far as the critics go, like, yeah, it's fine. Although apparently Which Flash one? Is awesome.
Thor, oh, yeah, Justice League, yeah. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Like, I saw like a headline that said something like Rotten Tomatoes is holding off on like printing their review or something.
48.
48, 48%. Wow. That is not impressive. But, you know, like DC's really
been that big.
I know. And it's DC's just been like really hit or miss, mostly miss.
Mostly miss. Wonder Woman they hit. Flash might be good though. Because like Flash looks like they're gonna have fun with it.
Oh my god. Yeah, but if you throw fucking six darts at a dartboard and you only hit with like two, then you know
you don't get to make movies anymore. Like really, what the fuck, guys?
Come on.
Just look at Marvel. Look at Marvel and go, let's do that but with our characters. And they're like, nah. Let's be brooding.
Yeah.
That time is past.
I don't know. I mean, we've talked about the whole issues with DC before, but you know, it flabbergasts me. It boggles my mind. Like, why, if you had all this creative possibility, like why you would do something that was just like, you know, complete shit, completely against formulas that have been proven to work, and yeah, with formulas that don't work. I don't know.
Are you familiar with Metal Knight, the current series that's coming out of DC? It's a bunch of different Batmans across the worlds.
Oh, universes. No.
Okay, so there's one where the Joker and Batman are switched places.
Oh, this sounds familiar.
Where Joker tries to be a good man, and Harley's like his, you know, femme fatale, but like they're, you know, he's like a decent guy. And Batman is like super controlling Donald Trump, basically, but of Gotham. And so the Joker becomes this like anarchist to try and like take him down. But by far the best is the one I read the summation of today for a story called The Bat Who Laughs.
Interesting.
And in this storyline, spoilers if you want to read it, but I mean, you're probably not going to read it, but
I'm done.
So in this storyline, the Joker decides to fucking destroy Batman. Like he's finally like, look, this is, you know, we are, if we're going to end this whole thing, we need to take on the best parts of each other and become better because of it. So in a scene where the entirety of Gotham is in flames, he takes Batman to the alley, to Crime Alley, and he has a series of parents with a single child. Like a number of them, like six or seven different groups, maybe more. And he's infected all the children with Joker serum. And he brings them up one at a time. He's got Batman all tied up. He brings them up one at a time. He shoots both the parents in front of the kid so that he can create these perfect descendants that are the best of Batman and the Joker. And so Batman like finally loses it, and he breaks free of his bonds, and he grabs the Joker, and he breaks his neck, and Joker gas starts pouring out of him. So he gets infected. So what he does is, you know, like a month later, you see him back in the Batcave. He calls the Bat family together, you know, Batgirl, Robin, Red Robin, Nightwing, all of them. He's like, look, I'm infected. I'm losing my shit. It's going to happen. So I've got to train you to take me down, because it's going to go, you know, it's going to happen. And they're all like, well, don't worry about it. Like, you know, we can handle this. And he's like, well, but I don't think you can, because you're never going to be prepared for this. And he just, you see him grinning all big, and he kills all of them. He shoots all of them.
Ooh. That's profound. I don't think there's any way you could be prepared for something like that. And Batman is the one that like says that
like a madman.
Yeah, like pretty much like, everything.
Yeah, he's like, come on, Clark. Come on, now's the time where you puff out your chest and you tell him everything's going to be okay. But it's not, is it? It's all over. It's my world. And he throws Black Krypton into Lois's hands. And it's off scene, but it's pretty much implied that Superman and John go nuts and devour her.
Whoa.
And that's the end. So they need to make that movie. And you do that one next. So just be like, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, everybody's familiar with the mythos, you know? Like, that's, you know, the issue I have with these movies that come out and, like, they retell the origin, like, every single time. At this point, Batman has been around for almost 80 years. Mm-hmm. Superman's been around for more than 80 years.
Everybody knows. They know the stories. They know the characters.
Yeah. But that's what you need to start doing. You know, you play, you know, variations on the theme. But you say that, but it's also like, you know, people have been born since then, so they're not really, they didn't grow up knowing Superman or knowing Batman the same way that we did. So I can understand the idea of wanting to introduce these characters again to a new generation in a new way.
Sure, but like,
but you don't have to do like it those the movie, entire thing over again.
Yeah, but those stories, you know, exist somewhere.
Yeah.
Like there's movies. Like, do we need to see Spider-Man again? Like, go through all the shit? No.
Which is fine, which is what they've been doing. Like, you know, like Spider-Man's origin took like, I mean, and they didn't even do the whole thing where he got bitten by a radioactive spider. 5 minutes in Civil War, and it's like, this is what I'm doing. And then he was like, hey, let me have a conversation with you. Boom. And we have Spider-Man. Done.
Moving on. Like, Flash, I can see, like, they're for the Flash movie, they're probably going to do Flashpoint, which, I mean, in relation to the rest of the Justice League, sure, okay, let's go ahead and do that. Why, we can use everybody.
Yeah. I don't know if they need to do that.
But like Cyborg, okay, he's cool, but have they shown a whole lot of his backstory or anything? Like enough to where he's interesting, to where you're like, oh, he's always in the struggle of am I man more or am I more man than machine? Rah, 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 rah. Like, do you give a shit at this point about Cyborg in the DC universe?
Not much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Aquaman, you're like, hey, it's Khal Drogo. Awesome.
Yeah. Just like a bet. I dig it. Yeah.
All right. Like Wonder Woman, you dig her? Her movie was good. Batman, Batfleck? Ah. Like, I'm not excited about Batfleck. I really am not. I that's been the one thing that has not made me want to just, I gotta see Batman versus Superman. Man of Steel, I kind of liked. Like, I'll be honest there. I kind of liked that movie.
You like Man of Steel? With Henry Cavill? Okay.
Yeah.
That's your prerogative. There's about, you know, 37% of that movie that I liked. About 37%. The rest of it, again, either could have been cut out and changed. But yeah.
Not the greatest movie in the world, but again, I enjoyed it. I watched it. Like, Carol and I watched it, and we got to the end, and we were kind of like, that wasn't the, you know, the train wreck that everybody sold it as.
And, you know, a lot of it has to do with what your expectations are. If you don't have, or if you have low expectations, or if you have no expectations, then you'll enjoy it a lot more than if you come in thinking like, oh, I'm going to like enjoy this the way I did when I was 4 and I watched Christopher Reeve convince me that a man could fly, you know?
Yeah.
So once you, that's, once people talk about it and you're like, oh, you know, don't expect much from it, then like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it's, I think that was
definitely a different kind of Superman movie, but, you know,
Yeah, I think that was the second Spider-Man's problem. They're like, it's Spider-Man. Oh, we're going to have Electro and the Rhino. It's going to be fucking crazy. And people are like, all right. I mean, we saw what you said we were going to see.
Oh, you mean the second Spider-Man?
Yeah. Yeah, not the second Spider-Man. Not the second Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Bob Spider-Man. Yeah. The Illinois Spider-Man. Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you said the second Spider-Man. I was like, okay, Tobey Maguire and Alfred Molina, that was almost a perfect movie. Like, almost.
No, that was a really good movie.
That was a really good movie.
No, but I mean, like, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. I understand you now. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're throwing down. I'm mopping what you're spilling.
So, I don't know. I think that's the appeal of Thor. Like, everything I've read, they're like, hey, did you see The Dark World? Yeah, don't worry about it. Just go see the new one.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which is great. I think a problem you have when you create a series is, like, have you seen the other ones? Oh, you're not in our club. You can't just hop in here.
Ragnarok doesn't have that issue. Yeah. You can come in off the street and watch it and be like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, you should be able to hop in. Like, they should be making these movies according to Stan Lee's comic book philosophy, which is every comic book is someone's first comic.
Yeah.
Like, they should be able to watch it and not get it, but quickly be able to get caught up and go, okay, so here's the rules of this universe here. Here's what's going on. There's some stuff that, you know, you can't really do that with. You know, like, everything Mark Millar does, like, you kind of need to get in on the ground floor because he's doing a run and you don't know where the fuck it's going. But for a big blockbuster movie, okay, let's make it fun.
Yeah.
Why not?
Keep talking for about 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, like, okay. So Justice League, everybody knows who the fucking Justice League is more or less, because you've got, you know, if you haven't seen, if it watched like Justice League Unlimited or whatever, you've probably seen Teen Titans Go on Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah.
So you know who Cyborg is, and they have like ancillary characters. Like at this point, it's part of the, it's, I don't know. I don't have a good analogy. It's like living in Japan and knowing all the spirits in your neighborhood. You know, like you kind of grow up in it, and you know, yes, it's the rock spirit. And this is the spirit of the shopping mall or whatever shit. You know, like you kind of, it's part of, it's our mythology.
Exactly. I'm with you.
So,
sorry, I'm back.
Welcome back. But no, it is our mythology. Like, so there's some things that are kind of a given, and if somebody doesn't know, then going into it, you have to go, you should have friends or parents or some, a guardian that goes, okay, look, so this is Superman. He is from another planet and his planet exploded. So his parents sent him to Earth when he was a little baby, knowing that he'd be stronger on Earth and so better capable of surviving. But also because his father felt that the people of Earth could help his son become a good person, but also give his son the chance to be a good person and help them. So that's his whole thing. Superman is good. He doesn't lie. He's, you know, super strong and he's indestructible, but he's, that doesn't mean that.
Yeah. He's a super Boy Scout.
He's asking him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, like Lex Luthor said in the second Superman movie, it's like, you always played it straight. You know, somebody always knows where they stand with you. Always. Foursquare. He's like, you know, the pinnacle of like truth and justice and, you know, what the American way should be.
Yeah. Ideally.
Ideally. Yeah.
He's something to strive for. You know, he's like the guy that when he shows up, everybody's like, okay, I don't know what's going on, but it's going to be all right. Right.
Right. And you know that if you're on his side, you're on the right side, you know, you're on the good guy's side. Like that's, right? You know, yeah. There's no ambiguity.
Even if he is peeping at Lois Lane in her house, all kind of weird. Which, again, that didn't seem too fucking weird to me. Like, everybody's like, oh, okay, he's been gone a while. He comes back, crash lands in the fucking, you know, cornfield. And his mom's like, hey, how's it going? He's like, so what's been going on while I've been gone? Like, oh, dude, Lois, like, really shit on you. What? What's she up to? So, like, swings by her house. He could walk up, knock on the door, go, hi, Lois, how's it going? I'm Superman. I thought I'd fuck with you a little bit. Or he could, like, I have in, you know, x-ray vision. I can just kind of check in. He's not the kind of guy who, like, you know, watch her in the shower and jerk off. He's like peeking in going, okay, oh, she's got a kid. She's married. She seems happy. You know, like that's all he's doing. He's Facebook stalking her before it was really a thing.
Exactly.
So that's not that weird. And then with the Kryptonite Island, I thought that was brilliant. Like that's a Superman thing. That's the kind of thing Lex Luthor would totally fucking do.
Yeah. The thing is, I mean, I think they were going, you know, for like, Superman Returns, they were like going too close to what they were trying to hit the notes exactly with the first, you know, Superman movies. Like they were trying to recreate Christopher Reeve on that one. And if you like do it, you either nail it exactly or you're like really off tone. And I think they were really off tone with that one.
Hmm.
And God love Kevin Spacey, but he is not Lex Luthor. I mean, Kevin Spacey aside, whatever your feelings about him right now. During that time, Kevin Spacey was like the pinnacle of like, oh, this is an actor, what an actor should be. But even then, it was not the role for him.
Oh, dude, I thought he did a good job.
I mean, yeah, but like you're trying to recreate exactly the way that other people have done it. And if you're like, he's not Gene Hackman. He's just not.
No, he's not. But Gene Hackman was a good Lex Luthor as well.
Exactly.
I think Bryan Cranston would have been a fucking fantastic Lex Luthor.
He would have been, but he wouldn't have been playing Gene Hackman playing Lex Luthor. He would have been Bryan Cranston playing Lex Luthor, just like Clancy Brown is Clancy Brown playing Lex Luthor.
Yeah, it's yeah,
yeah. But anyhow, all right. I think I'm gonna have to pull the plug on this one. Not like the plug, but you know.
That's cool. I'll see you next week, James. With that, I'm Nick Moore.
Well, I mean, I expected more of an outro, but that's fine. I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore. You've been dorked.
You have been dorked.
I'm gonna record that. That's our new.
Oh wait, we forgot. What was our? We made it up like 50 minutes ago. And what is our new? It's irregardless. Shut the fuck up, or we're fucking done. That's what it is.
Irregardless, we're fucking done.
Irregardless, we are fucking done.
Shut the fuck up. Dork.
Classic.
Dork. Later, James.
Later, Nick.